All right, let's open our Bibles to the Old Testament book of Amos this morning. Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. I preached on this verse years ago, when I first came here. This is not that sermon. This is a completely new sermon. But if you were here and the verse sounds familiar, that's probably why it is. Or unless you read it recently, which is a great few verses here. Let's begin reading, please, in verse 11, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter, verse 14. All right, so if you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack, and I would encourage you to get it and look up the verse and keep it open where you can look at it. You want to check me here, make sure I'm not preaching out of the funny papers or something, all right? So let's all make sure we're on the same page. All right, so verse 11, everybody got it? Okay. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. All right, now notice that, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Notice the wording on that. That's unusual, isn't it? You have to admit that's an unusual statement. All right, verse 12 says, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Now that's not physical water. That's spiritual thirst. All right, so he says, in that day, even the young people will thirst, have a spiritual thirst that cannot get quenched. Verse 14, they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manner of Beersheba liveth. All right, now look at me. Dan is the most northern city in Israel. It's the most northern city. And then Beersheba is the most southern city. So anytime you see in your Bible from Dan to Beersheba, what that is basically saying is for everybody in Israel, the whole country, the whole nation, all right? That would be like saying from Ocean City to Oakland, all right? You're encompassing the whole city, the whole state, I mean. And so that's the idea here. They shall swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth. Well, the gods of Dan, small g, and they were not living, they were dead. All right, the manner of Beersheba liveth. No, that God was dead too. Even they shall fall and never rise up again. All right, let's pray together, and then I'll give you a little background on this and show you a couple of things this morning. Let's pray. Now, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege we have to open our Bibles and to look at its truths. And Father, I pray that you will bless what is about to be said. Give us understanding this morning. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. And Father, I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and enable and help me I want to be a blessing, but Father, I need your help to do that. And so give me your power, give me your Holy Spirit, help me to say what I need to say today to be what folks need to hear. So bless now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. When the Lord Jesus comes back in the clouds to call his church, his redeemed, up to meet him in the air on this earth, just as soon as that happens and the church is caught up to be with the Lord, here on this earth, there will be a 7-year tribulation period that will begin. Now, if you remember back to 9/11, you'll remember that a few airplanes were hijacked and were flown into the World Trade Center and into the Pentagon, and then one crashed in a field out in western Pennsylvania. All right, now, that event triggered nothing but chaos in the world. It wasn't just America that was impacted. When America is impacted, the rest of the world is impacted. And so the stock market fell. The world went into a period of chaos. Inflation hit with a vengeance. And the prices for everything just went through the roof. And the government felt the need, if you'll remember, to give millions and millions of dollars to bail out these huge American companies, which they deemed were too big to fail. Do you remember that phrase? So the world went into a tailspin when 9/11 happened. Now, folks, think about the rapture of the church. I want you to imagine what is going to happen on this earth when all of a sudden the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and the trumpet sounds and there is a shout, and that shout is so loud it's going to raise the dead. For the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us who remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now understand, that is the next thing to happen on God's calendar, the rapture of the church. So I want you to think for just a moment, what is going to happen to this world when multiplied millions of Christians are taken up to heaven to meet the Lord in the air, in a moment, in the quickening of an eye? Just imagine the chaos that will be on this earth. I mean, I don't know if you've ever sat and thought about it, but planes will be falling out of the sky full of people. You say, why is that? Well, it could be two reasons. Number one, both the pilot and the co-pilot are saved. And when the Lord comes back, they don't have near as far to go. You with me? And so there's a plane with no pilot. A second way to look at that, let's suppose the air traffic controllers are all born again believers. And now there's nobody to direct the planes. All right, so chaos is going to ensue. You can be assured of that. Cars will suddenly have no drivers. Going 70 miles an hour and no drivers. That's going to be chaos everywhere, folks. I mean, that's chaos all over our world's highways. But according to Revelation 6, once this tribulation period begins on the earth, after the rapture takes place, there's going to follow on this earth famine such as has never been seen before. There's going to be inflation like has never been seen before. There's going to be skyrocketing prices which never has been seen before. And there is going to be such chaos that men all over the planet are going to say, I've never seen anything like this. Now, can you imagine a famine that affects the entire world? Can you imagine? Well, that's what's coming. And we are so blessed to live in the United States of America. Did you see any of those videos of those folks from Europe and from Asia and South America who came here for the World Cup? Did you see any of the videos when people walked into our grocery stores and they stood there and wept? One fella said, your dogs and cats eat better than we do. And I thought, well, if you knew what was in that stuff, you wouldn't be saying that. Right? One lady stood there and looked at all the vegetables and the tears just ran down her face. She said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Well, folks, I'm telling you, we got a lot to be thankful for here in America. We have an abundance of food, and our farmers can grow corn and wheat and beans and tons of other things in controlled environments so that even in the dead of winter, we have fresh vegetables. It's absolutely amazing how God has blessed our country. We have the capacity today to drill for water, and we can get water just about anywhere on the planet. I mean, our capabilities today are endless. But to have a famine of food or of water is a frightening thing, to be sure. And I sure do not want to go through one. I don't want to see one. And famine has impacted many countries and many people through the millennium. Many folks have starved to death as a result of a famine that hit their region or their nation on the planet. But look carefully, though, at what Amos is saying in this 11th verse. Folks, Amos is not talking about a famine of food or of drink. He's not talking about that. I mean, he says so himself. Look at it. Verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or nor a thirst for water. So it's not a famine in the literal sense of the word. Like no food, no water. That's not what he's talking about. You say, well, then, Pastor, what kind of famine is he mentioning? He is talking about a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, you think about that. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And I think that Amos is telling us that there's going to come a day, which, by the way, I think we're in. I think we are in that day where we are in this world today seeing a famine of hearing the word of God. I, 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 You ever play that game when you were at an outing, you know, a youth outing or an adult outing, and you had a room full of people, and you go over here and you tell one thing, just whisper one thing, and then that person has to tell the person next to you, and they whisper it, and then they go around and they tell somebody else, and it keeps on until it goes all the way around the building, and then it goes upstairs, and it goes all around the upstairs, and then the last person walks down these steps, comes up here, and says what was told to them. And 99.9% times, what was said here is completely different from what was told to the last person. It's not even close. I mean, most of the time it's so outlandish that when he tells it, everybody just starts cracking up laughing because it is 10 miles away from where you heard it. Well, folks, listen, we live in a world today where there is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You go into the average church in America today, you don't hear the word of God. You don't hear it. Nobody tells anybody from the pulpit how they can get to heaven. They don't preach about that anymore. You know why? That's offensive. That's offensive. Yeah. You don't know how many times after a service I have gone out in the hallway and somebody's out there waiting on me to come out. And they have approached me and said, I'm offended. And I said, which part got you today? You know, if I preached scared to death that I was going to offend anybody, I'd never preach again. Because you see, the gospel is offensive. It says that men are sinners. And nobody wants to be called a sinner. And that was what this fellow's problem was. I said, what offended you? Well, you said I was a sinner. I said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. Well, now, I heard you say it. And I said, no, God said it. I was just repeating what God said. You see, there is a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. And I think that we're here in these last days of the last days. We are in a famine. And listen, it's not only that you have to search and look for somebody, for a church that will preach the gospel. All right? It's not that you just have to look. You can't just go in any old church and hear the truth. You have to search for the truth. You know that's true. You know that's true. I've had people who moved away, and they have said to me when they came back home or emailed me and said, Pastor, we cannot find a church down here. We cannot find a church. Can you find us a church? Well, sometimes and sometimes not. Sometimes I can recommend a church and they'll say, oh, I went to that one. They don't use the Bible. Oh, I went to that one. Their music is atrocious. It's rock and roll music. Oh, we tried that one, Pastor. But it's like going to a picnic. You know what I mean? So there's a famine going on today. Now, I want you to notice a few things about this announcement from Amos. All right? Three things. First of all, notice the mercy in the announcement. You say, mercy, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, look at the first part of the verse. It says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. That's a warning. That is a warning. God is saying, hey, folks, you better get ready. Because the day is coming when there's no hearing of the words of the Lord. Folks don't hear it. Church members don't hear it. Christians don't hear it. That's amazing, isn't it? But it's true. It's true. We notice here that God warns in advance. You see, the problem is that men do not heed God's warning. The beginning of this verse emphasizes the grace of God. You see, God never brings judgment or disaster upon a people without first giving them a warning that his judgment is coming. Do you remember Genesis 6? God says the wickedness of men was great. And God told Noah that the end of all flesh is before me. And God told Noah, build an ark. And you know what? From the time God announced to him and told him to build that ark and gave him the instructions, the manual, the blueprint, all right? From the time he announced it and gave him the blueprint, it was 120 years. 120 years. Now, what happened in that 120-year period? Noah preached the truth. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And he preached the message. And you know what? Nobody heard him. Isn't that amazing? You would think that after 120 years, somebody would have listened. But they didn't listen. And at the end of that 120-year period, after Noah said, it's going to rain and it's going to flood, and if you don't get right with God, you're all going to die. And they just wanted to argue, no doubt, wanted to argue with Noah, what do you mean it's going to rain? What's rain? Well, you say, why didn't they know what rain was? Because before the flood, we're told in the Bible that God watered the earth with the dew and with the fountains of the deep, the water that's under the ground. That's amazing, isn't it? And, if this pattern doesn't break that we are experiencing now, we're going to be shoveling snow by my birthday, September. Yeah, when is my 10th? I knew that. He said, Pastor's losing. He doesn't even know when he's. I do. I know when it is. Actually, I'm trying to forget. And at the end of 120 years, how many Noah have? Eight. Eight people. And they were his family. That's all he could get on the ark. Just his family. And God warned, but only 8 souls believed the message of God's grace and got on the ark. And the entire human race was destroyed and perished in the flood, except for Noah and his family. 8 souls. And this shows us something, folks. This shows us that people who reject the gospel message of Christ will end up in hell and have no one to blame but themselves. But you see, there is such a famine of the words of the Lord today. Folks, you ought to make up your mind. I'm going to listen to God. I'm going to hear what God says. I'm going to hear God, and I'm going to obey the words of the Lord. And just determine in your heart. Paul tells us in Romans 1 in verse 20, he said, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they," man, "is without excuse." That means, dear friend, that you could go out here and look up into the night sky and if you could see the stars. We're in the monsoon season now. You can't see the stars very, very much. But if you were to walk out and see the stars, you would think to yourself, wow, something greater than me has made this universe. But men don't even think about that today because they've been brainwashed by evolution, by devolution. Yeah. But you see, folks, the world needs to hear and needs to understand that God still speaks. But we need to hear what he says. You know, the truth of God gives men tons of warnings to stay away from hell. It really does. I mean, there, you stop and think about it. There are Bibles everywhere. You can go into any Target, any Walmart, most grocery stores, wherever they sell books, you can find a Bible. But people don't read the Bible. They don't want to read the Bible. You can turn on the radio and you can listen to preaching on the radio. A couple of months ago, I was going out on a Monday, driving to preach somewhere on a Monday night, and then Tuesday night. And so I was driving down the road, and I thought, well, let me see if I can find that gospel music station. And so I'm on the FM dial, and I'm turning, trying to find that. And so it came on. It was me. That's shocking. I thought, I know that voice. And I listened to it, wasn't bad. I'm saying amen to my own preaching. And the guy says, when it was over, the guy says, "Well, that was Dr. North Spelcher from Westminster, Maryland, Church of the Open Door, preaching for us this morning. If you enjoyed this message, give us a call." one 800. And guy answered the phone, and I said, "Hey." "Yes, sir." I said, "Who gave you permission to play my CD? Who gave you permission to play my message?" And he started laughing, and he said, "Only you would do that." "Only you would do that to me." Now, I knew this guy, all right? I knew this guy. I wasn't sure he was working, but when I heard his voice, I knew who he was. You can hear the messages, the message of Christ preached on the radio. You can hear it on many FM stations, many AM stations all over America. But nobody wants to hear what God has to say. There's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. You see, the truth is, folks, there are a lot of people who have the opportunity to hear the words of the Lord, but they don't want to hear what God has to say. And that's a sad thing. But God's mercy is still there. Secondly, notice the matter in the announcement. The matter in this announcement by the prophet Amos is the matter of a famine. That's the matter. Listen, folks, there's no doubt about it. A famine is a scary and horrible plague for anyone to have to face. I've read about some of the various famines that have hit the world. I read about them this last week as I was preparing for the message here this morning, and read about days of yore. And I can tell you right now, if suddenly you had no water, or if suddenly you had no food where you lived, you would be scared out of your wits. We have to have food and water. We just have to. You see, bread and water speaks to us of the mainstays of life. Without them, surely a slow, brutal, horrifying, terrifying death will ensue. And people would go the extra mile to survive a famine if it hit their land. You'll remember during the time of Joseph, he stockpiled the grain. You remember that? He stockpiled grain when he was down in Egypt. And Joseph was blessed of God and used of God, and he stockpiled the wheat. And we're told that people came from all over the known world to buy wheat off of Joseph. And he kept the world alive during those times, those 7 years of famine. That's amazing to me. That's just amazing to me. But they did not. They did what they could in order to survive the famine. But what about a spiritual famine? You know, it's amazing to me. God's talking about a spiritual famine here, and lo and behold, we're in one, but nobody seems concerned about it. Nobody seems concerned about it. We won't come to church on Sunday night. Why? You don't want to hear it. What else could be the reason? It's not that you think you're going to miss something on 60 Minutes. That can't be it. If you hadn't learned by now, 9/10 of what they say is all a bunch of hooey. Yeah, you can't trust anything the mainstream, lamestream media says. Everything they do, they try to do it to make conservatives look bad. So why won't you come back on Sunday nights? Say, ouch, I know. Got quiet right there, didn't it? There is not a famine of the Word of God, folks. There's a famine of hearing the Word of God. And that's our choice. Whether we hear or whether we don't, that's our choice. And I'm telling you today, there's a famine. So that's the matter, the famine. A spiritual famine. Then thirdly, notice the motive in the announcement. We saw the mercy in Amos's announcement. We saw the matter in Amos's announcement. And now lastly, notice the motive in the announcement. You see, God wants men to hear what he has to say. God wants you to hear what he has to say. The Lord wants men to avail themselves of the great opportunity that he has given. And if we don't avail ourselves of that opportunity, look at verse 12 again. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. You say, well, why didn't it say from east to west? Because if you go from east to west, you're going to end up in the Mediterranean. So north to east, all right? So that's the, I guess it would be north to east for you looking this way, all right? So verse 12, he says, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord. Here's the sad part. They can't find it. Can't find it. You know how many folks right now are listening to our service on the internet, on the live stream right now, simply because they cannot find a church to go to in their town? There's one fella that listens who lives in the Faroe Islands, way up north, way up parallel with Iceland almost. And I don't know why anybody'd want to live there, but he does. And there's no church. His home looks out at the Bering Sea. And yet he listens to our live stream all the time. Can't find a church. Can't find a church. Tom and Martha Wilmer can't find a church. They watch us. Hi, Tom. Hi, Martha. Yeah, they're watching. There's it's sad, isn't it? But that's where we are. I think we just might be in that kind of a famine today, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. The church sat on its collective hands and did very little to stop a small minority of evil-hearted people from removing the Bible from our schools and then from our government and then from our military and then from our society. And today, even churches cannot decide what is and is not the Word of God. How sad is that? Every now and then, I need to do it again, but every now and then, I will send out a questionnaire to all of our missionaries. I need to do it again. It's been a couple of years since I've done it. And I ask them, do you use the King James Bible? You'd be surprised. You'd be shocked. What kind of music do you support? Could I go on your website and listen and download your services? And what am I going to find? It's unreal, folks. And sadly, when there is preaching, it's weak. It's appeasing, it's a pat on the back, it's apologetic. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, forgive me. I don't mean to offend you. That kind of thing. And so much of what is happening in the average church in America today is the direct result of there being a famine of the hearing of the words of God. Pastors don't preach the Bible anymore the way they should. And the pastor has today become a public relations person, a sort of decorative piece at social events, and someone to have handy to do the marrying and the burying of his people. And even in the last several years, many pastors have given up the preaching of God's word. That's why you go by on a Sunday night and there's no lights on in the church. I asked one preacher, one guy who was a friend. We went to college together. And he called me one day just to see if I was still living. And I said, "How's your church?" Well, I don't want to talk about that. I said, "Well, you know, are you still there?" Yep, still here. Well, what's going on? Well, and then once they start, you can't get them to stop. You know, it's all moan and groan. Well, it's this, and it's this, and then this happened, and that happened, and then COVID, and then, you know. Had a bunch of people wanted to change the music, so we changed the music. Had a bunch of people want to change the Bible, so I changed the Bible. And we had to cut out our Sunday night and our Wednesday night services because nobody would come. Wonder why. Wonder what the problem is. I'll tell you what the problem is. There's a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. Folks, don't let that famine hit your heart. Don't let that famine hit your heart. Let's bow for prayer, please. A famine of the Word of God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. My dear friend, would you let God speak to your heart tonight or this morning? Just let God do something in your life. He wants to. He wants to. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. Don't let there be a famine in your heart. Father in heaven, you know our needs today. I pray you'll bless and meet the needs of our hearts. Father, there is truly a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It's not that there's no Bible. There is Bible. It's really all around us, but it's a matter of hearing that's the problem. And Father, give us ears to hear. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will convict us and help us to see the importance of being in God's house, your house, with our Bible open and ready to hear what thus saith the Lord. So, Father, draw us close to you. I pray that we'll not leave here this morning until we have made that decision to follow you and to have spiritual ears that we might hear. So, Father, bless. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.